My name is Wino of Daiwa Research Institute. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Yes, we can hear you. Best regards. It's two simple questions that I have. First of all, you talked about the foreign exchange factor, but we're seeing the increase in net revenues in a local basis. So what is it that the profit ratios are down? If we look at the pink and green areas, then we can see that there is an increase in personnel costs. And so therefore, there may be cloud expenses, and strategically, you're trying to increase the revenues there. But in terms of profitability, do you find this to be acceptable? There's also COVID, as well as various types of sales activities that had been kept low, but now we're increasing this. And there's also the pink area, the mobile channel expenses, and many things are linked together. So from the standpoint of investments, as indicated in Eva's presentation, we believe that we have an opportunity to get a large market, and so we're making investments accordingly. Now, do you mean that this kind of investments will continue for perhaps a span of 2 years? Is there no change there? No change there. However, there is the track record that we are generating as a result of those investments. So you'll be increasing the investments. And if you think about the potential for the revenues 2 years ahead, then you'll continue these efforts. That's correct. And I'm sure that everybody wants to ask, there's the Value Act, and you're seeing your stock prices going up tremendously. Now, is there things that you can disclose about this? Or if you have any thoughts in regard to this? Well, we have a high degree of transparency, and so we disclose what we can, and the investors are evaluating things, but from our standpoint, for the Value Act, as we believe that the investors realize the transformation that we are facing, and they realize the situation of our customers and channel partners. And so therefore, for the corporate management, when we talk about the corporate strategy, this is something that we have repeatedly explained about, and it's up to the investors to decide on their own about whether they should invest or not, or whether something is cheap or not. They will be looking at the other situations as well. So it's a familiar pattern then. It's not any kind of external pressure, or rather, you have a high degree of transparency. And so as a corporation, investors are looking at you as an attractive option. Yes. No, I don't know whether that represents a gray zone or not, but we believe that this is the best place for you to learn about our company, because on a quarterly basis, we talk about our plans. And so if you have any uncertainties about us, then we are able to explain our situation to you. And if you're not satisfied, that's that. But if there's some kind of dissatisfaction that you have to the company, there may be people participating who are part of the Value Up. And in regard to their investment strategies, they concentrate their efforts and they spend a great deal of time in analyzing our strategy, I believe. And they're also looking at our customers as well as our competition. And they're looking at a comprehensive evaluation of Trend Micro. And they understand that we are now targeting a large market. So they perhaps believe that stock price increases can be expected.
Hello.
May we understand you? Please continue. That's all the questions that I have.
May I comment on these two questions? I think first on the profitability side, as in my slides, I indicated Trend Micro has been profitable consecutively 94 quarters ever since Trend Micro became a public traded company. So you can trust Trend Micro is not a company that doing loss leading investment. We always aiming at provide generating profit. And this time, I think our investment in the SOC buying center and cloud buying center are very important and very high potential market to invest in. And in terms of value add, I think it's very interesting that we find their investment interesting is because they invest in Microsoft before they, when Microsoft starting their transformation into the cloud part. And I always feel that before Trend Micro was, our business model was being compared with other cybersecurity startup. It's just, I shouldn't say not fair, but it's just not an apple to apple way of comparison how our business model is, because we are generating profit and then at the same time we're transforming and building from the existing customer base. And I feel it's very, how dare I say, I feel I understand why Value Act want to invest in Trend Micro is when they see Trend Micro as we are at the point when Microsoft was using their existing customer base and transforming into the cloud part of the revenue, which we have the similar business model and our transformation is the same route, which I think that is why we feel, at least I feel Value Act, so why they invest in Trend Micro make me a little bit more comfortable because they understand our transformation.
Yes, thank you for your comment.
ありがとうございました。
ありがとうございます。
以上です。
Thank you, that's all. Thank you very much. I would like to unmute the next person. Please state your name and affiliation. Can you hear me? Can you hear me okay? Yes, we can hear you. I have two questions. One is, well, you changed the top line, but not the profit. And Negi-san, you have explained that the exchange impact on top line and the exchange expenses is basically parallel. But for the first half, expense grew faster than the revenue. So for the second half, the cost of sales will not grow as much as revenue. That is the expectation. You have to make a recovery there. So specifically, how are you going to control and reduce the expenses? I understand that the hiring is accelerated in the second quarter. So based on this exchange rate assumption, will the top line grow this much? And maybe the gap cannot be filled or maybe even expand. So can you please explain why that isn't the case? For ordinary profit, I know that there is exchange gain or loss. And in terms of operating income, maybe the situation is a little bit tougher. So can you please provide us with some additional comments? That's the first question. Can we do it one by one? Yes, thank you. The second half revenue is usually larger than the first half. So for the first half, unfortunately, expense grew faster than the revenue. But in the second half, the revenue is expected to grow at the same pace, in which case we can absorb the expenses and the exchange's impact. Unless the yen becomes weaker, we can pretty much absorb that as well. So minor adjustment at this point in time is relatively easy to do for revenue, but for the expenses, there are so many different factors to be considered. Therefore, for the time being, we believe that this number is appropriate. And after another quarter, I think we can gain more visibility into the situation. Therefore, for the time being, the operating income level that we are indicating, we believe is appropriate. Thank you. Second question. From July to September, I understand that the security investment may be suppressed, especially for the United States market. And Americas, EU, Asia Pacific, for these different regions, what is the market environment and what kind of changes do you expect on a quarter by quarter basis? And if there is no change, please mention that as well. Thank you for your question. As I've commented, the multi-year deal decrease, especially in the North America, is definitely a trend. Is this due to potential recession, or is it because customers want to switch to services or shorter duration contracts? We don't really know exactly, but this is probably one of the low light points as an indicator. That's what we share today. In Europe and Asia, it's not a single country. There are different countries, and we may have a very strong position in a country, particular country, or maybe we had specific deals, and the demand is relatively strong in those regions. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Next question. My name is Tanaka of Mitsubishi UFJ Morgan Stanley Securities. If I may ask a question, you talked about the pre-gap situation, but on a local currency basis, there was only growth of 3%. And what about multiple year impact? What about the situation of America? What is the situation in competition with other companies? If you could touch upon this. Most of our competitors are American companies, and the most competitive market is America. And our scale is relatively small compared to the other competitors, which have large sales force. And so there is a very fierce competition taking place. What about the situation then? I think that it's improving, but for SOC or the cloud buying operation, in terms of service capabilities or sales capabilities, maybe it's an order of magnitude difference in the number of salespeople. So it would be sad to think that you can't competitive. Well, that may have been clumsily expressed by myself, but this is the reason why we have to invest more. And also, we have a Value Act, which is a U.S. investor, and so they do in market research on their own, and they have evaluated the efforts of Trend Micro and have looked at our potential. Thank you very much. And when it comes to front,
yes, I just want to say, what is the U.S. Situation? I just reflect on the past 2 years. At first, when CrowdStrike just appeared, our seller will come back and say, we don't see CrowdStrike. We don't see them appear in our account. And we starting to get alert. Then we move from there when we say, we don't see them. Later, we starting to say, we see CrowdStrike. But every time when there's CrowdStrike, we lost to them. And now we already moving to the next stage where now we almost see CrowdStrike in every of our the deal that we compete in. Yeah. I think this, and also we starting to win some now. Mm. So that journey says that first, we were in a different buying center. We were at the IT buying center. They at the SOC And that's why our sellers say we never see them. Then later, we already moving to, in the past, probably starting 1 year ago, we started to say, well, we kept on seeing CrowdStrike. That means we are invited to the bid. But at that time, we were not competitive enough, so we always lose. But now, in the past 6 months, we already seeing, we gradually starting to win one by one. A lot of deal, and it's winning from, like in my presentation, I explained, not just the EDR deal. We win by XDR. We say what you need is not just endpoint detection and response, like CrowdStrike. You need the extended one, including the network sensor, including the cloud sensor. And we are starting to win. So I think it's slowly, but at least we're seeing the progress of Trend Micro competing in US for the security operations center budget. That's the good part.
Well, thank you very much.
Habara-san, dozo, 途中で私と。
これ 先ほどの説明と Eva が説明したことの まあ合算になりますけれども、
So like Eva explained, our product is stronger. That is why we are seeing the growth in Europe and Asia. We are more competitive. So our products are competitive. And as Negi-san mentioned, CrowdStrike is one of the competitors. And most of the competitors are basically from the United States, which means that they have a home advantage. We have home disadvantage. So in terms of branding, we are a little bit weaker, although our products are competitive. If there is a concern that our products may not be competitive, well, it is competitive, and that is why we are seeing double-digit stable growth in Europe and also in Asia. That's all from me. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for the question. We are open for the questions. Yes, this is Hori from Mizuho Securities. I have a couple of questions myself. North America pre-gap looks a little bit weak, and I understand that multi-year contract is declining. But the SaaS subscription, this is a general trend, and I think this situation was already happening for a while. But you're highlighting it this time. Why is that? Is that because of the economy and the multi-year cash out is maybe declining or will be declining? And we are seeing that in this quarter's number. If that is the case, maybe on a year-on-year basis, we will continue to see this trend in the next coming quarters. Is that the right way of interpreting your explanation? The reason we spoke about the pre-gap is because uncertainty about the economy is being discussed a lot. We're not economists. We don't have any leading indicators. Security companies are basically lagging indicators. But anyway, this is a phenomenon that we're seeing that we want to share that with you. Pre-gap growth is not bad at all, as you may know. And in the United States, there is a shift from a license to service, and there is a higher percentage of SaaS, and this is what we're seeing. And in the United States, as you could see from the slide, the number of perpetual license customer is declining, and that's one negative factor behind that. Another thing, I don't mean to make an excuse for ourselves, but there was one that large deal which was faced. There's a delay. The general trend has been explained correctly by Negi-san, but there was one big deal which was faced, and there is an impact on pre-gap because of that. That was a big impact. I see, I understand. My second question is, going back to the previous question about the headcount, I can see an increase in headcount in the first quarter. And in the second quarter, I believe you're hiring more people. What is the background for this? I understand that until last year, it was difficult to hire people because of COVID-19 pandemic. But this year, you're accelerating your hiring. And finally, you are getting maybe enough headcounts that you want. What is the background for this? What is the reason for this happening now? The background is, as I have explained earlier, we have never frozen the hiring process, but there were two reasons why we could not hire many people, because hiring managers could not see the candidates face to face, and they felt anxious. So hiring managers were maybe on a slow pace. And another reason is, when there is uncertainty, skilled people don't want to change their jobs in general. So in 2020, 2021, I think the turnover was quite low generally. But now the turnover of many companies is increasing, and the mobility of people is increasing. And thanks to that, we are able to hire more people now. I see. You said that you have competitiveness in your products, and you can win not only in the United States but also in other countries too. But you mentioned CrowdStrike. There is also Palo Alto. I think they have been hiring really aggressively in the last 1 or 2 years, with a stock option value tempting many headcounts. But this year, their stock prices are not going up for the last 6 months, so stock option value is not as attractive as it used to be. And I don't think they're as aggressive as they were in hiring. I think they're slowing down their hiring process. And maybe that is helping you. I know that Trend Micro is not doing anything too aggressive, but you have a long-term vision, and you focus on quality. And you have never really focused on those potential employees who would be attracted by options, stock options. So maybe the bubble is over, but now there's a tailwind for you, for your hiring process. Is that too much of a rosy picture? Well, generally speaking, I agree. Yeah. 2 years ago, it was difficult to hire engineers, and internet companies were hiring very aggressively, but now it's slowed down. So compared to the past, many companies have stopped being aggressive. And we're not necessarily hiring from Palo Alto or CrowdStrike. We have our own philosophy. And maybe Eva can comment.
Yeah, like Mahendra said, for us, the teamwork and the collaboration globally is a very important element of Trend Micro culture. And therefore, at the COVID time, when we cannot go overboard, cannot meet face to face, we will hesitate to hire. But now, I do admit that we see more and more quality resume inflow. And at the same time, we have the chance to really meet with them and feel more comfortable to hire and pick the one that we think will fit with Trend Micro's culture and growth. Together with Trend Micro, so we had the chance to accelerate and find some good hire into Trend Micro. Just for instance, recently, just about 2-3 months ago, we hired someone from U.S. Federal CISO. He was a U.S. Federal CISO, and he brought in a lot of knowledge about how the U.S. federal government work and how their security operation centers need is. And those are precious hiring that we recently was able to find.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you.
ありがとうございます。
ご質問ありがとうございました。それでは次の方のミュートを外しますので、解除されたらお話します。
For your questions. Now we will unmute you if you could.And ask. My name is Kikuchi of SMBC Securities, and I'd like to continue with Mr. Ueno's question. I'm sure people are involved, And I'm looking at various buyback plans, and we're seeing increases of that. And there are businesses that are doing this. But I don't think that there's going to be much change, but when it comes to investment securities, there is increases in the market, and there's much talk about the return to shareholders. And to be friendly to the investors, and you do have a high degree of transparency, but when it comes to medium-term objectives, in the Japanese market, you need to emphasize your medium-term strategy, but I have questions about that. And in terms of improvement in that area, or in regard to the cash on hand or in the balance sheet, or in how you show corporate growth, if there is any areas that you see room for changes, well, we should divide this question into two parts about return to shareholders. Well, we're not thinking of any changes. And when it comes to deferred revenues, we have over 180 billion yen, and this hasn't been realized, recognized, but if we look at dividends, then there could be double dividends paid. And so therefore, in regard to the payout ratio being low or so on, we are not wasting capital. But at any rate, there is no wasted capital on our part. And so we are not looking at any changes there. We are open, however, in how we disclose our information. If the investors are seeking a new way of our disclosure, and we are going to look into that. And in regard to what needs to be shown, if we show something different every quarter, then it would just inconvenience the analysts. And so therefore, we'll continue to disclose for a certain period of time what we continue with. And so if you have any ideas on this, please let us know. Meanwhile, when it comes to the medium-term plan, there's a great deal of uncertainty about the future right now. And the economists are saying that they cannot anticipate what will take place 3 years ahead. And so under such circumstances, it's just for self-satisfaction if you make five-year plans. And so therefore, instead of looking at such long-term planning, it's necessary to have the strategy and whether you can deliver on a long-term strategy or not. And so for us, and when it comes to 3 years ahead or 5 years ahead, if we just come up with some numbers and then try to increase our stock prices with that, or if we show something that's 5 years ahead, then we have to continue to explain our strategy and how things are proceeding. And we must talk with shareholders about this. I see. But when it comes to investment stocks and securities, now you have seen the increase in your stock prices, but perhaps there is anticipation about what return to shareholders you're planning. And maybe the buyers may be looking into this, or the stock prices may go down, but well, when it comes to the investment securities and how this is going to be handled from here onwards, do you have any comments? Well, I think that that's not relevant at all. No one knows whether our stock prices are going to go up or not. And when it comes to the investment securities, if you have any opinions, Mr. Habara, we would like to hear from you. But one thing, for us, there is investment made through Holland, and in order to do that, you have to go to Holland. And there is a factor of the person not being able to go to Holland. Well, one thing is the foreign exchange rates. When it comes to the investment stocks, the book value is increasing for those that we are holding in foreign currency. And we're trying to avoid the wasteful management of that. And Mr. Kikuchi asked about Value Act and what about the balance sheet and the cash. But as Mr. Minegi has explained, we have not been told what we should be doing in this regard. But there is an episode that I can talk about. It's not just for this quarter, but a certain customer compares us with a competitor. And the reason why they selected us, may choose us for financial stability and the fact that we do not change the roadmap constantly. So perhaps investors are now looking at this and think that in the security business, it's very important to have cash. And they may be judging that to be an important point. And so therefore, they may be emphasizing the importance of this. But that's just a personal view on my part. I see. I'm sure all of the analysts are going to be looking into what kind of action Trend Micro may or may not take. And there was discussion about this, but most likely we may assume that nothing is going to change. Can we write our reports that way? Well, we can't say that nothing's going to change, but for our logic, if investors are going to tell us that there is some better logic that we should apply, then we are willing to listen to them. Thank you. That's all from my side then.
Thank you very much for the question. We would like to accept the next question.
Unmute
the microphone. Please speak and ask your question. This is Sato, Jefferies Securities. Can you hear me? Yes. Just one question. This result, was it more or less in line with the expectation? You mentioned lowlights and highlights. And for example, if the pre-gap is positive, you would pay bonus. And these are basically according to the assumptions. But looking at the different regions, Europe was quite strong. And Japan and the Americas were a little bit maybe lower than your expectation, or was it in line with your expectation? I don't know if you have internal expectations or forecasts, but from the management's perspective, was this quarter's result better or worse than what you had expected? This is in line with our expectation. When we provide the annual full-year forecast, we have these assumptions. For example, what we expect from Europe and maybe in these other regions, the growth would be quite slow. That was the assumption. So when we saw this result, we were not surprised. And this is not really a quarterly plan. There was, for example, a big deal that was phased into the next quarter, and we can make a recovery. So we believe that on a full-year basis, it's going to be according to plan. And the cost as well, that was in line with expectation, excluding the impact of exchange rate. Yes, that was basically in line with the plan. Thank you. Thank you very much for the question.
Do
we have any more questions? Are there no further questions?
Since
there seems to be no further questions. Oh, excuse me, there seems to be one. We will unmute you, so please ask your question. Can you hear me? This is Segawa. Yes, we can hear you. There are two questions that I have. First, I'd like to ask about the costs, your personnel costs. You've talked about increased recruitment, but what about your annual plans? There's 800 that you plan to hire, and compared to what you've hired so far, we see an increase, but we will see further increases in this regard in the third quarter and fourth quarter. And what is the increase in the personnel expenses as a result? What is the domestic outlook for this? That's the first question I have. We don't know whether we can hire all 800, but at any rate, it's in the second half as well. We'll continue our recruiting activities because recruiting costs are lower, and we'll continue to increase headcount. As for the cost, things influence things, and if we increase the headcount, of course, costs will increase. So we believe that the personnel expenses will increase in the second half. And if I may add, as Mr. Negi has mentioned, in Q2, because of the depreciation of the yen, there was an impact of 3 billion. But I believe that the actual impact is 1 billion. So it was one-third impact. And in terms of this, it's the same as Q1. And so therefore, the increases are the same as Q1, except for the FX impact. The change with Q1 is that there's the catch bonus that may occur in the third quarter or the fourth quarter. And this will look like a increase from Q1 to Q3. But as we mentioned in Q1, it may not be as high as what apparently looks like the increase from Q1 to Q2. And for the cost of goods, do you think that there were no extraordinary circumstances? Well, depending on the quarter, it's difficult to anticipate this, but when we close the accounts, the degree of progress of the projects and so on determines the numbers. And so there may be sales cash flow that increases because of certain cases, but then there's also the cash out must be taken into consideration. And the balance for this is not something that you can anticipate beforehand. And so the result is that we're seeing an increase. Compared to Q1, we're seeing that for a capitalization and amortization, for the balance sheet cost in the PL, there was high in compared to Q1, it was high and also high on a year-over-year basis as well. I see. And second point, for the subscription ARR growth, could you comment on this aspect? The percentage of prescriptions is increasing, and within the enterprise market, half of the revenues are represented by subscription. But on the other hand, when it comes to growth rates, compared to previous trends, it is a high rate, and yet it seems to have grown stagnant. So, in regard to the situation of subscriptions, is it going to become more stabilized? That is the point that I'd like to inquire about. Generally speaking, as numbers become higher, then the growth rates may go down. But looking back further, it used to be a lower growth rate in the past. It was 29 to 30% or 32%. So just because 2% 2% increase has happened doesn't mean that it's a significant decrease. We are targeting a larger market, and we want to generate a higher growth rate by emphasizing the value that our corporation can offer. And I believe that it's possible for us to do this. Thank you very much, sir.